Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Father, we thank you first and foremost for you. That you are awesome and wonderful. And you have not given us that spirit of fear again and a condemnation or anything else, but you have told us to call you Abba, Daddy. And we are so thankful for that. So we just ask that you would have your way completely in each one of our lives, not just this morning, but every day in each one of our lives. We just yield and surrender and say yes. 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 Yes, Lord, yes. Thank you that you have loved us, you love us, and not only that, you are love. And we just thank you for being with us all the time, not just with us, but in us. There is none like you. We will sing praises to you with all our heart as long as we live. We will let that heart that is within our heart sing and praise you through our whole life as long as we have breath. You are beautiful and glorious, and we say thank you for what Jesus did for us, and we just believe and receive and enter in more and more every day into the awareness of who you are and who we are in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You did it.
When I was talking to Jeff out there, and I brought it on purpose, and there is a song that is several years old by a man named David Dunn. Have any of y'all ever heard of him? I had never heard of him until several years ago. And it's called Today is Beautiful. Does anybody have a phone that they know how to do that so we can listen to this? I didn't intend on doing this. Yes, all you do is put in David Dunn, Today is Beautiful. It's really a good one. The words are good. D-U-N-N. It might work, might not.
You don't need to be here.
No. Listen real carefully. That's all. It'll be here.
Thank you.
Our spirit gets it, but our mind really doesn't, even though we can say it with our mouth. But we're saying, Lord, we want more revelation. We want more awareness of the truth of this. We want to walk in it daily. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in love. When Christ, the anointed one, Christ means Messiah or anointed one. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that is not just for after we leave the body. It's for right now also, while we're walking in this body, on this earth, in this plane, in this realm. We're walking around in this realm, but we really live in another realm. We really do. It's like, oh my word. So, we talked about the throne of God, how awesome that whole scene over there in Revelation is. But the most awesome thing about the whole scene is not the throne, but the one who sits on the throne, that looks that has the appearance of a jasper, which is that clear, brilliant, beautiful, bright white like a diamond, and the appearance of a sardis, which is the red, which is symbolic, I think, because the book of Revelation is basically symbolic, of the blood. And then all the colors of the rainbow. The rainbow is God's. It is His. It is pure. It is clean. It is glorious. It is awesome. It is nobody else's. I don't care who tries to steal it. And I'm just drawing my line in the sand right now.
They are appropriated.
You know, they want the beauty, but it's God's. It's God's. So, this scripture used to condemn me because it says, set your mind on things above. Well, sometimes my mind just won't go there. You know, and I have, if we couldn't do it, it wouldn't be
written here. But we don't do it in our own strength. When I finally said, I can't do it. All these billions of things are running through my mind. And I used to think it was all me, but it's not. We have an enemy that is firing fiery darts at us of wrong thinking all the time. And he gets in cahoots with the world, the political system, the religious system, and our flesh. So when I finally said, I can't do it, I need your help. I just really need your help. You know, and when you're in the midst of something, it doesn't come out like that. It comes out crying and this and that and the other. But he does. He comes in and he helps. He helps us. It might not feel like it instantly, but I am a living example. I'm standing right here in front of you with the joy of the Lord in my heart, fully healed in my heart when I was nothing. And God spoke these words to me 16 years ago. Barbara, you are nothing but a big bed sore. Because I knew what a bed sore was because I'd had to deal with that with my mother. And they are nasty, ugly, stinking things. And if you don't let them heal from the inside out and you scab that thing over, you have to rip that scab off and start all over again. And when he said, you're nothing but a big bed sore, I was insulted. And I'm going, God! And he said, but, I love his buts. Those buts in the scripture are awesome. He said, but, I am going to heal you from the inside out. And he has. And it's like, now it's not to say that I don't think about some of those things previous. And I miss my husband. But oh well. God has put a healing in there and a joy and love and peace that is different from anything I could have ever imagined in my whole life. So he does it, but sometimes it takes a while. But we can focus, we can lift our eyes to him. And in the process of lifting our eyes, we also look to him who lives inside by the power of his Holy Spirit. So that throne is awesome because of who it is that sits on the throne. Because he is love, and he is awesome, and he is good, and he cares about us, and he knows every single thing that is going on in our lives, doesn't he? He really does. And he cares, even though a lot of times I haven't felt it. I think he doesn't let me feel some things because I just get too wound up, you know, and then walk off into the flesh. During that season, the other thing that happened, I saw this great big fist. It was huge. And it was like, I knew that represented the presence of God. And I'm thinking, but I'm not feeling anything. What? And I knew it wasn't to hit me or anything like that. And slowly the fingers opened a little bit, and the reality came to me. I am only going to let you feel what I know you can handle. And I went, well, I want it all right now. you know how we are. We really do. But anyway, he's just so good. And okay, back to that throne. And he's invited us. And you might want to read Ezekiel 47. It talks about the throne of God and the river of God coming out from under the throne, flowing out for healing. Everywhere that river went brought healing. And in Revelation 22, it talks about it. I mean, it's just so cool to read all of that. But in Hebrews, we mentioned this. We who have been born again, born from above by the Spirit of God, who have received and believed and received, are invited to come with boldness to that glorious one sitting on that throne. It's called the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. And we're invited to come with boldness. And I've got to read this again. When I looked up the word boldness or confidence in some of the translations, it means come with the absence of fear in speaking. So no fear in speaking boldly with confidence. And I loved this one. Cheerful courage. Even if you're not feeling cheerful, we come boldly with no fear of speaking, just speaking outright to the Lord without any connection necessarily to speech. So we can come boldly. There are times, every one of us in here, I'm sure, have experienced times when you can't even say anything. You just don't even know what to say anymore. You've prayed umpteen times, you know, for the same thing. Vain repetition. And then sometimes you just flat out don't know, because we don't know all the facts in the situation. So we just come and sit on his lap. We've been invited boldly to come up there and sit and just groan. And he comforts us. And he knows what's going on. He's always saying, come. Come to your daddy. Come. And that may be hard. I understand that for some people have not had good relationships or with their earthly parent, their father. And that can be a huge hindrance. But the Heavenly Father is good, big enough to get us past through all of that. Also, they could have had wonderful relationships with their earthly father. And that could be a hindrance also. Our Heavenly Father, who is on the throne, is bigger and better than any earthly person ever. He's saying, come, come. Now, okay, so then we go over to another scripture. Well, right there in Revelation chapter 4, it says, after he saw those things about the church, I'm not sure about this, but the first three chapters where he talks to the seven churches could be a picture, a symbolic picture, type, shadow, whatever you want to call it, of our personal, intimate walk into more intimacy with the Father. Might be able to be applied that way. I've done that a little bit through the years off and on, and it's pretty cool. So that's just something to think about. But in chapter 3, all of a sudden we see Jesus is speaking and he's standing there knocking on a door. But in chapter 4 it says, I saw a door and it was open. So the door that has been flung open by him is him. And he has flung that door open. In Isaiah 22:22, he says that he has opened a door that no man can close, and he has shut a door that no man can open. Meaning he slammed the door shut on the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifices, and all of that, and opened the door to the Father through his ultimate sacrifice. But then he's there knocking, And he's knocking on the door of our heart and saying, you know, whoever opens this up, I'll come in and we'll eat together and party together and have a good time. And so we have a choice to open that door. So here we have a throne that we've seen, the Father. Now we're talking about a door that is open, the Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. And he's saying, come on, come on, come on. And it's not as if we haven't come when we believe, but we want, you know, we want to come more, deeper, more deeper. How do you like that English? More intimately. We grow in the intimate awareness of the love between the Father and the Son. You know, he said, the Son said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, is the original, not mansions, not buildings, but dwelling places. But this is an interesting concept. The Father and the Son and the Spirit have this love relationship from before anything was ever created, before anything, which is, okay, yes, Lord, I just believe it. I'm just simple enough to say, I don't understand a bit of it, but I believe it. They're in this intimate relationship. This place that he has prepared for us is in the midst of them and their love relationship. Sort of see what I'm trying to say? Isn't that cool? We're invited to live there, right in the midst of that loving relationship that they have going on. It's like, okay, how? You know, the human always wants to go, how do we do this? And it's just by saying, yes, okay, yes, Lord, I receive. Oh, and then I go to that prayer over in Ephesians, say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Open the eyes of my understanding to know the hope that you have called me to. This is part of the hope, that we can live right now on this earth, not even thinking about heaven yet, which is a glorious hope. Unbelievers don't even have that hope, but we have a glorious hope. But right now, we can live in this relationship in the midst of their love for each other that is for us, too. It's like, whoa, okay. And then that prayer goes on and it says, open the eyes of my understanding that I would know that we would know the hope that he has called us to and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He has an inheritance in us that is pleasing and fabulous and wonderful to him, that gives him joy. We give him joy and pleasure. Woohoo. The God of all creation, how can that be? Oh, my goodness. So, okay. So, he flung the door open, and we fling our door open and say, okay, yes, let's go, whatever. Here it is, all for you. I used to be scared to say that years ago. I thought I'd be sent to Africa as a missionary, and it scared the you-know-what out of me, because of the legalistic teaching some that I had had. And by that time, I already was married and had two children. And I thought, if I say that, he might take my husband and my children. And I mean, see what the enemy does and the legalistic teaching. And then the flesh gets going with it. But the word long-suffering is, I'm beginning to understand a little bit more how he, our daddy in heaven, is so long-suffering with us. He is so patient. He does not get mad at us. He won't throw us down. I have done so many things that I should have just been kicked out. But he never did that. Never. He kept saying, come on, come on, come on. Lift your eyes up. Come on. Which is an awesome thing. So, all right. Okay, so then we talk about the throne, and we see that river flowing out. Who is the river?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. So you have the throne, the Father, the door, the Son, and the river, the Holy Spirit. And I just love it. It's just so cool. So remember, some of you may remember this. Back, I think it was in the 70s or 80s. Maybe it was the 80s or the 90s. Anyway, years ago. Talked about get in the flow. You have to just get in the flow of the river. And it was all about the river and getting in the flow of the river and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds real nice. But I had no clue what I was. It was like, I have learned from one huge lesson, and I won't even go into it, not to say no. I won't say no to God again, willingly. Now, sometimes I just sort of back up and don't realize what I'm doing. But when one time I made a definite no, stop it. And he did. But he didn't make me feel guilty. It's just that it took a long time to come through past that, back into where I was when I told him to stop it. And I don't want him to do that anymore, even though I get nervous about some things. And we don't have to be nervous or scared or concerned about what's going on in the world. And we're going to read a couple scriptures before we finish about that, because there's a lot of ugliness right now. It's unleashed. All I know is we're in the last days, because the book of Hebrews tells me that. It says, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. So we've been in the last days a long time. I have no idea how far into the last days we are, but it sure doesn't feel good. I don't know about y'all, but there's just an unsettled feeling. Refuse in the name of Jesus to let that grab hold of you. I just got a notice yesterday over the email that my neighborhood has had 2 break-ins last week. Well, immediately, you know what tries to grab hold of you, and I just said, no, in the name of Jesus, no. The angels are never off duty around me, around my house, around my property, and around my neighborhood, so anybody that tries to come in from now on, the fear of God's going to come on them, and they can't do a thing, and they're going to run out before they can do anything. In Jesus' name, we have got to let that spirit rise up in us and be more adamant about his goodness and his provision and his love for us. So anyway, the river, we want to get in that river and just flow with the river. And just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's not about what I have to do. It's all about what you've already done. And we've learned that very well. But there's always, 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 with our God, who is so amazing, more areas to explore and to go off into. So, and we don't want to just not do it. Okay, so I want to get... This is where I really want to get. John 10:9. Let's turn over there. And I'm just going to read that one verse, but read the whole chapter when you have a chance. I am, Jesus talking, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Years ago, about probably 3 or 4 years ago, the scripture about Elijah and Elisha really struck me. Because I never really understood this verse. I thought, In-N-Out, okay, In-N-Out. Then I was reading about Elijah and Elisha. And the way I applied it, Elijah as a type, a shadow of Christ. Elisha as a picture of the believer. Well, you know, right at the end, Elijah keeps telling Elisha, this is in 2 Kings chapter 2, if you want to read it. Elijah kept telling Elisha, I'm going to wherever it was he went first. You stay here. And Elisha said, no way, no way. I'm going with you. I'm staying with you. So he went with him and went to that city. Then Elijah tells him again, I'm going so-and-so, you stay here. He says, uh-uh, I'm attached to you, I'm going with you. And it bothered me for a while that Elijah kept telling him to stay, but he was just kind of, I think he was kind of testing him to see what he was going to really do, if he was really attached or not. And then the last, where was the last place he said he was going? Jericho. Yeah. And he says, stay here, I'm going. And Elisha says, nuh-uh, you're not going without me, so to speak, he said. And so he went with him, and they came to the Jordan River. And the prophets were all there, and they're telling Elisha, you know, this is kind of a compilation of the story. Don't you know your master's going to be killed today? He goes, yeah, don't talk about it. And I think people told him that in each town he went to. He says, nope, not going to talk about it. So they get there to the Jordan, and Elijah takes his mantle, his anointing, and the Jordan opens up, and they go across on dry ground. And then Elijah says to Elisha, ask me, what do you want me to do for you? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of your anointing. Elijah says, that's kind of hard, but if you see me go, you'll get it. So they're walking along, and sure enough, the chariots of fire come. They take Elijah up. Elisha sees it. The mantle falls. He picks up the mantle, and he goes back to the river, and he says, where's the God of Elijah? Whacked it, and the water opened up, and he went back out. Okay, look at that as a picture of us going in to our secret place, our quiet time. We go in with him. Not that he's not always with us, because they were always together. They weren't separated, but there was a special anointing, and he went into the secret place. So think of us going into the secret place with the Lord in our prayer time. You know, we can do that walking around. We can do it in our room or wherever. But the awareness of going in with him and hearing, not just hearing, but what did he have to do? Elisha had to see Elijah taken up. So it's a matter of seeing, like that song, lift your eyes, see more than what's right in front of you. It's a matter of seeing while you're in there. Now, and I don't mean physically, I'm talking spiritually, seeing into that other realm. We go in there, we get juiced up, so to speak, with the anointing, with the presence, with the love, with the joy, with the peace, with the encouragement when we need encouragement, with the comfort when we need comfort, with the patience when we need that, with whatever we need. We get just juiced up with the Spirit, with the other realm. And then what do? We come out, so to speak. We cross that Jordan. We come and we walk around in our everyday life, letting that presence come forth and minister through us to whoever we come in contact with. I think that is a really cool picture of what happens when we spend time in the Word with the Lord in communion, in intimacy. We go in intimacy with him. We go through the door that he opened, him, with him, in us and with us and around us and all of that. It's in the river. We're going from ankle deep to knee deep to hip deep And then we're swimming in it so deep we have to swim in the power and the presence and the love of the Holy Spirit.
When Jesus says about the door, you can come in and can come out, he speaks about the freedom.
Yes, yes.
To get out anytime we want to, he's right there waiting for us.
Good, that is excellent. The freedom to flow in the Spirit. You know, it just, anyway, he's fun. He likes, you know, but he also knows that we have things in our lives that aren't always fun.
Yeah.
But he will give us what we need, and he will heal us. And it's not as if when we are born again, our spirit is brand new, healed, brand new creation, the whole deal. We know that. Like the caterpillar going from the caterpillar to the butterfly. The butterfly is a new creation. It can never be a caterpillar again. But we have some thinking in this flesh, in this brain, that has to be changed. And last week, remember Javen? He said, repentance means to change the way you think after being with him. And that's what brought a lot of this back up to me, going in with him, being with him. You change the way you think. You come out, you have more life, you have more joy, blah, 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 to minister without even knowing you're ministering sometimes. Don't make it a work. We've made it work, and we don't need to make it work. One little girl at the building that I work in, a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all come in to see their grandparents. And this one little girl, she is so cute. Her daddy is like a giant. He's at least almost 7 feet tall. And he's big. And he's the most gentle person. He's so sweet. And this little girl is so cute. And she's got really, really dark hair. And she came in the other day and she said, "Hi, how are you doing?" She's always like that. And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "How'd you like school?" Because she just started school. It's her first grade, first day of school. She said, "Oh, I love it. My teacher is so nice. She has bright hair like you do." And I went, "Oh, you're so sweet, but your hair is gorgeous," you know, something. But that just struck me, and the Lord used that word out of that little girl's mouth to minister to me. That somehow bright hair ministered to her.
It's wisdom.
Oh, yeah, I receive that. But anyway, so remember, the throne, the Father, the door, the Son, the river, the Holy Spirit. It's just, and all three in intimate, loving relationship with each other, and we're right in the middle of it. Held in that secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will, it just left my mind, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And they will say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my strength, my joy, my peace, my life, my everything." Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. David won't be back again. So next week, one more time. God bless you. Love you.